Hare Krishna, dear devotees, welcome back to the daily readings of Srila Prabhupada's books. I was on the phone today, or Skype, or some form of, you know, media, for 4 hours, and we were talking about different subjects, but mainly about the efficacy of reading Srila Prabhupada's books together, so that all of us can hear Srila Prabhupada's books cover to cover. And then if we do that properly, then when we do talk and have conversations and question and answers, then it keeps on the subject, on the topic, and it tends to reinforce and give stronger realizations of Srila Prabhupada's books rather than distractions. So I'd like to thank all of you for being here today to take up this process, Satam Prasangam Mamavirjavang Vido, that to hear in the company of other Vaishnavas, that allows all of us to hear together the absolute truth spoken by Srila Prabhupada, is the only way that we can actually understand Krishna. This is directly from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So my voice may not be so strong because I used it for 4 hours more than I usually do today. But still, the enlivenment it brought, I hope, will empower my voice so that you can understand what I'm reading. But before we do, we're going to recite the Srimad Bhagavata Mahima Stotram from Srila Sanatana Goswami's Sri Krishna Leela Stava, a small book that he wrote glorifying the Vrindavan pastimes of Krishna. And in doing so, he glorified toward the end of the book the Srimad Bhagavatam, the source of Krishna's pastimes. And it goes like this. Sarva Shastrabdipi Yusha, Sarva Vedaika Satpala, Sarva Siddhanta Ratnaja, Sarvalokaika Drik Prada. O nectar from the ocean of all scriptures, singular fruit of all the Vedas, rich mine of the precious gems of all conclusive truths, you are the only giver of sight to all the worlds. Sarva Bhagavata Prana, Srimad Bhagavata Prabho, Kalidvandoditaditya, Sri Krishna Parivartita. O life heir of all the Supreme Lord's devotees, O Master Srimad Bhagavatam, you are the sun risen in the darkness of Kali. You are the exact image of Sri Krishna. Paramananda Pataya Prema Varshakshadayate Sarvada Savasevyaya Sri Krishnaya Namostume. I bow down to you who were supremely blissful to read. Your every syllable pours on a flood of prema. You can always be served by everyone. You are Sri Krishna himself. Madeka Bando Matsangin Madgudoman Mahadana Mannistadaka Madbhagya Mad Ananda Namostute. My only friend, my constant companion, my spiritual master, my great wealth, my savior, my good fortune, my source of ecstasy, I bow down to you. Asadhu sadhuta dayin atini chuchata kada hanamunchagadachin mam premnarit kantayospuda. O bestower of saintliness to the unsaintly, O exalter of the most fallen, please never leave me. Always appear in my heart and my voice with pure love. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. All right. In this classic literature Srila Prabhupada gave us, the summary study of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the summum bonum of the Bhagavatam, which is the summum bonum of all the Vedas. We've reached chapter 3, the birth of Lord Krishna. We've just heard the demigods praying to Krishna within the womb of Devaki. And now we're going to hear about Krishna's appearance. Chapter 3, the birth of Lord Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that his birth and activities are all transcendental, and that one who factually understands them becomes immediately eligible to be transferred to the spiritual world. The Lord's appearance or birth is not like that of an ordinary man who is forced to accept the material body according to his past deeds. The Lord's appearance is explained in the second chapter. He appears out of his own sweet pleasure. When the time was mature for the appearance of the Lord, the constellations became very auspicious. The astrological influence of the star known as Rohini was predominant. The star is considered, this star is considered to be very auspicious and is under the direct supervision of Brahma. According to the astrological calculation, according to the astrological conclusion, besides the proper situation of the stars, there are auspicious and inauspicious moments due to the different situations of the different planetary systems. At the time of Krishna's birth, the planetary systems were automatically adjusted so that everything became auspicious. At that time, in all directions, east, west, south, north, everywhere, there was an atmosphere of peace and prosperity. There were auspicious stars visible in the sky, and on the surface of the earth, in all towns and villages and pasturing grounds, and within the minds of everyone, there were signs of good fortune. The rivers were flowing full of waters, and the lakes were beautifully decorated with lotus flowers. The forests were full with beautiful birds and peacocks. All the birds within the forest began to sing with sweet voices, and the peacocks began to dance along with their consorts. The wind blew very pleasantly, carrying the aroma of different flowers and greatly pleasing the sense of touch. At home, the Brahmanas, who were accustomed to offering sacrifices in the fire, found their homes very pleasant for offerings. Due to the disturbances created by the demoniac kings, the sacrificial fire had been almost stopped in the houses of Brahmanas. But now they could find the opportunity to start the fire peacefully. Being forbidden to offer sacrifices, the Brahmanas had been very much distressed in mind, intelligence, and activities. But just on the point of Krishna's appearance, automatically their minds became full of joy because they could hear transcendental vibrations in the sky proclaiming the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The denizens of the Gandharva and Kinara planets began to sing, and the denizens of Siddhaloka and the planets of the charanas began to offer prayers in service of the Personality of Godhead. In the heavenly planets, the angels and their wives, along with the Vidyadharas and their wives, began to dance. The great sages and the demigods, being pleased, began to shower flowers. At the seashore, there was the sound of mild waves, and above the sea, there were clouds in the sky, which began to thunder very pleasingly. When things were adjusted like this, Lord Vishnu, who was residing within the heart of every living entity, appeared in the darkness of night as the Supreme Personality of Godhead before Devaki, who appeared as one of the demigoddesses. The appearance of Lord Vishnu at that time could be compared to the rising of the moon over the eastern horizon. The objection may be raised that since Lord Krishna appeared on the eighth day of the waning moon, there could be no rising of the full moon. In answer to this, it may be said that Lord Krishna appeared in the dynasty which is in the hierarchy of the moon. Therefore, although the moon was incomplete on that night, because of the Lord's appearance in the dynasty wherein the moon is himself the original person, the moon was in an overjoyous condition, and so by the grace of Krishna, he could appear just like a full moon. In the astronomical treatise by the name Kamanikya, the constellations at the time of the appearance of Lord Krishna are very nicely described. It is confirmed that the child born at that auspicious moment was the Supreme Brahman, or the Absolute Truth. Vasudeva saw that wonderful child, born as a baby with four hands, holding conch shell, club, disc, and lotus flower, decorated with the mark of Srivats, wearing the jeweled necklace of Kostubha stone, dressed in yellow silk, appearing dazzling like a bright blackish cloud, wearing a helmet bedecked with the Vaidurya stone, valuable bracelets, earrings, and similar other ornaments all over his body, and beautified by the abundance of hair on his head. Due to the extraordinary features of the child, Vasudeva was struck with wonder. How could a newly born child be so decorated? Vasudeva could therefore understand that Lord Krishna had now appeared, and he became overpowered by the occasion. Vasudeva very humbly wondered that although he was an ordinary living entity conditioned by the material nature and was externally imprisoned by Kamsa, the all-pervading personality of Godhead, Vishnu or Krishna, was appearing as a child in his home, exactly in his original position. No earthly child is born with four hands, decorated with ornaments and fine, nice clothing, fully equipped with all these signs of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Over and over again, Vasudeva glanced at his child, and he considered how to celebrate this auspicious moment. Generally, when a male child is born, he thought, people observe the occasion with jubilant celebrations, and in my home, although I am imprisoned, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has taken birth. How many millions and millions of times should I be prepared to observe this auspicious ceremony? When Vasudeva, who is also called Anukudundubi, was looking at his newborn baby, he was so happy that he wanted to give many thousands of cows in charity to the Brahmanas. According to the Vedic system, whenever there is an auspicious ceremony in the Kshatriya king's palace, out of joy, the king gives many things in charity. Cows, decorated with golden ornaments, are delivered to the Brahmanas and sages. Vasudeva wanted to perform a charitable ceremony to celebrate Krishna's appearance. But because he was shackled within the walls of Krishna's prison, this was not possible. Instead, within his mind, he gave thousands of cows to the Brahmanas. When Vasudeva was convinced that the newborn child was the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, he bowed down with folded hands and began to offer him prayers. At that time, Vasudeva was in the transcendental position, and he became completely free from all fear of Kamsa. The newborn baby was also flashing his effulgence within the room in which he appeared. Vasudeva then began to offer his prayers. My dear Lord, I can understand who you are. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul of all living entities, and the Absolute Truth. You have appeared in your own eternal form, which is directly perceived by us. I understand that because I am afraid of Kamsa, you have appeared just to deliver me from that fear. You do not belong to this material world. You are the same person who brings about the cosmic manifestation simply by glancing over material nature. One may argue that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who creates the whole cosmic manifestation simply by his glance, cannot come within the womb of Devaki, the wife of Vasudeva. To eradicate this argument, Vasudeva said, "My dear Lord, it is not a very wonderful thing that you have appeared within the womb of Devaki, because the creation was also made in that way. You were lying in the causal ocean as Mahavishnu, and by your breathing process, innumerable universes came into existence. Then you entered into each of the universes as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. Then again, you expanded yourself as Chirodakshayi Vishnu and entered into the hearts of all living entities and even within the atoms. Therefore, your entrance into the womb of Devaki is understandable in the same way. You appear to have entered, but you are simultaneously all-pervading. We can understand your entrance and non-entrance from material examples. The total material energy remains intact even after being divided into 16 elements. The material body is nothing but the combination of the five gross elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Whenever there is a material body, it appears that such elements are newly created, but actually the elements are always existing outside of the body. Similarly, although you have appeared as a child in the womb of Devaki, you are also existing outside. You are always in your abode, but still you can simultaneously expand yourself into millions of forms. One has to understand your appearance with great intelligence, because the material energy is also emanating from you. You are the original source of the material energy, just as the sun is the source of the sunshine. The sunshine cannot cover the sun globe, nor can the material energy, being an emanation from you, cover you. You appear to be in the modes of material energy, but actually the three modes of material energy cannot cover you. This is understood by the highly intellectual philosophers. In other words, although you appear to be within the material energy, you are never covered by it. We hear from the Vedic version that the Supreme Brahman exhibits his effulgence, and therefore everything becomes illuminated. We can understand from the Brahma Sangita that the Brahma Jyoti, or the Brahman effulgence, emanates from the body of the Supreme Lord. And from the Brahman effulgence, all creation takes place. It is also stated in the Bhagavad Gita that the Lord is the support of the Brahman effulgence. Therefore, originally, he is the root cause of everything. But persons who are less intelligent think that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes within this material world, he accepts the material qualities. Such conclusions are not very mature, but are made by the less intelligent. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is directly and indirectly existing everywhere. He is outside this material creation, and he is also within it. He is within this material creation, not only as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, he is also within the atom. The existence of the atom is due to his presence. Nothing can be separated from his existence. In the Vedic injunctions, we find that the Supreme Soul, or the root cause of everything, has to be searched out because nothing exists independently of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the material manifestation is also a transformation of the Supreme Soul. Therefore, the material manifestation is also a transformation of his potency. Both inert matter and the living force, the soul, are emanations from him. Only the foolish conclude that when the Supreme Lord appears, he accepts the conditions of matter. Even if he appears to have accepted a material body, he is still not subjected to any material condition. Krishna has therefore appeared and defeated all imperfect conclusions about the appearance and disappearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My Lord, your appearance, existence, and disappearance are beyond the influence of the material qualities. Because your Lordship is the Supreme Brahman and the controller of everything, there is nothing inconceivable or contradictory in you. As you have said, material nature works under your superintendence. Just like a government officer working under the orders of the chief executive, the influence of subordinate activities cannot affect you. Since you are the Supreme Brahman, everything is existing within you. And since all the activities of material nature are controlled by your Lordship, none of these activities affect you. You are called Shuklam. Shuklam, or whiteness, is the symbolic representation of the Absolute Truth, because it is unaffected by the material qualities. Lord Brahma is called Rakta, or red, because Brahma represents the quality of passion for creation. Darkness is entrusted to Lord Shiva because he annihilates the cosmos. The creation, annihilation, and maintenance of this cosmic manifestation are conducted by your potencies. Yet, you are always unaffected by those qualities. I'll read that again. The creation, annihilation, and maintenance of this cosmic manifestation are conducted by your potencies, yet you are always unaffected by those qualities. As confirmed in the Vedas, Harir, He, Nirgunak, Sakshat, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always free from all material qualities. It is also said that the qualities of passion and ignorance are non-existent in the person of the Supreme Lord. My Lord, you are the Supreme Controller, the Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Great, maintaining the order of this cosmic manifestation. Yet in spite of your being the Supreme Controller, you have so kindly appeared in my home. The purpose of your appearance is to kill the followers of the demoniac rulers of the world, who are in the dress of royal princes, but are actually demons. I am sure that you will kill all of them, and that their followers, and their followers and soldiers. I understand that you have appeared in order to kill the uncivilized Kamsa and his followers, but knowing that you were to appear in order to kill him and his followers, he has already killed so many of your predecessors, your elder brothers. Now he is simply awaiting the news of your birth. As soon as he hears about it, he will immediately appear with all kinds of weapons to kill you. After this prayer of Vasudev, Devaki, the mother of Krishna, offered her prayers. She was very frightened because of her brother's atrocities. Devaki said, "My dear Lord, your eternal forms like Narayana, Lord Rama, Hayashirsha, Varaha, Nishinga, Vamadev, Baladev, and millions of similar incarnations and emanating from Vishnu are described in the Vedic literature as original. You are original because all your forms as incarnations are outside of this material creation. Your form was existing before this cosmic manifestation was created. Your forms are eternal and all-pervading. They are self-effulgent, changeless, and uncontaminated by the material qualities. Such eternal forms are ever cognizant and full of bliss. They are situated in transcendental goodness and are always engaged in different pastimes. You are not limited to a particular form only. All such transcendental eternal forms are self-sufficient. I can understand that you are the Supreme Lord Vishnu. After many millions of years, when Lord Brahma comes to the end of his life, the annihilation of the cosmic manifestation takes place. At that time, the five elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, and ether, enter into the Mahat Tattva. The Mahat Tattva then enters by the force of time into the non-manifested total material energy. The total material energy enters into the energetic pradhan, and the pradhan enters into you. Therefore, after the annihilation of the whole cosmic manifestation, you alone remain with your transcendental name, form, qualities, and paraphernalia. My Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you because you are the director of the unmanifested total energy and the ultimate reservoir of the material nature. My Lord, the whole cosmic manifestation is under the influence of time, beginning from the moment up to the duration of the year. All act under your direction. You are the original director of everything and the reservoir of all potent energies. All the conditioned souls are continually fleeing from one body to another and one planet to another, yet they do not get free from the onslaught of birth and death. But when one of these fearful living entities comes under the shelter of your lotus feet, he can lie down without anxiety of being attacked by formidable death. This statement by Devaki is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita by the Lord himself. There, the Lord says that even after traveling all over the universe, from Brahmaloka to Pataloka, one cannot escape the attack of birth, death, disease, and old age. But one who enters the kingdom of God, the Lord says, is never again obliged to come to the material world. Therefore, my Lord, I request you to save me from the cruel hands of Kamsa, the son of Ugrasena. I am praying to your Lordship to please rescue me from this fearful condition. Because you are always ready to give protection to your servitors. The Lord has confirmed this statement in the Bhagavad Gita by assuring Arjuna, you may declare to the world, my devotee shall never be vanquished. While thus praying to the Lord for rescue, Mother Devaki nonetheless expressed her motherly affection. I understand that this transcendental form is generally perceived in meditation by the great sages, but I am still afraid because as soon as Kamsa understands that you have appeared, he might harm you. So I request that for the time being, you become invisible to our material eyes. In other words, she requested the Lord to assume the form of an ordinary child. My only cause of fear from my brother Kamsa is due to your appearance. My Lord Madhusudana, Kamsa may not know that you are already born. Therefore, I request you to conceal this four-armed form of your lordship, which holds the four symbols of Vishnu, namely the conch shell, the disc, the club, and the lotus flower. My dear Lord, at the end of the annihilation of the cosmic manifestation, you put the whole universe within your abdomen. Still, by your unalloyed mercy, you have appeared within my womb. I am surprised that you imitate the activities of ordinary human beings just to please your devotees. On hearing the prayers of Devaki, the Lord replied, my dear mother, in the millennium of Swayambhuva Manu, my father Vasudev was living as one of the Prajapatis. His name at that time was Sutapa, and you were his wife, named Prishni. At that time, when Lord Brahma was desiring to increase the population, he requested you to generate offspring. You controlled your senses and performed severe austerities. By practicing the breathing exercises of the yoga system, both you and your husband could tolerate all the influences of the material laws, the rainy season, the onslaught of the wind, and the scorching heat of the sunshine. You also executed all religious principles. In this way, you were able to cleanse your heart and control the influences of the material laws. In executing your austerity, you used to eat only the leaves of the trees which fell to the ground. Then, with a steady mind and controlled sex drive, you worshipped me, desiring some wonderful benediction from me. Both of you practice severe austerities. For 12,000 years, by the calculation of the demigods. During that time, your mind was always absorbed in me. When you were executing devotional service and always thinking of me within your heart, I was very much pleased with you. O sinless mother, your heart is therefore always pure. At that time, I also appeared before you in this form, just to fulfill your desire. And I asked you to ask whatever you desired. At that time, you wished to have me born as your son. Although you saw me personally, instead of asking for your complete liberation from material bondage, under the influence of my energy, you asked me to become your son. In other words, to appear in the material world, the Lord selected his mother and father, namely Prishni and Sutapa, respectively. Whenever the Lord comes as a human being, he must have a mother and a father. So he selected Prishni and Sutapa perpetually as his mother and father. And on account of this, neither Prishni nor Sutapa could ask the Lord for liberation. Liberation is not so important as the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The Lord could have awarded Prishni and Sutapa immediate liberation, but he preferred to keep them within this material world for his different appearances, as will be explained in the following verses. On receiving the benediction from the Lord to become his father and mother, Prishni and Sutapa retired from the activities of austerity and lived as husband and wife in order to beget a child who was the Supreme Lord himself. In due course of time, Prishni became pregnant and gave birth to the child. The Lord spoke to Devaki and Vasudev. At that time, my name was Prishni Garbha. In the next millennium, you took birth as Aditi and Kashyapa, and I became your child of the name Upendra. At that time, my form was just like a dwarf, and for this reason, I was known as Vamanadev. I gave you the benediction that I would take birth as your son three times. The first time I was known as Prishni Garbha, born of Prishni and Sutapa. In the next birth, I was Upendra, born of Aditi and Kashyapa. And now, for the third time, I am born as Krishna from you, Devaki and Vasudev. I have appeared in this Vishnu form just to convince you that I am the same Supreme Personality of Godhead again taken birth. I could have appeared just like an ordinary child, but in that way you would not have believed that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had taken birth from your womb. My dear father and mother, you have therefore raised me many times as your child with great affection and love, and I am therefore very much pleased and obliged to you, and I assure you that this time you shall go back home, back to Godhead, on account of your perfection in your mission. I know you are very concerned about me and afraid of Kamsa. Therefore, I order you to take me immediately to Gokula and exchange me for the daughter who has been born to Yashoda. Having spoken thus to his father and mother, the Lord turned himself into an ordinary child in their presence and remained silent. Being ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev prepared to take his son from the delivery room, and exactly at that time, a daughter was born to Nanda and Yashoda. She was Yogamaya, the internal potency of the Lord. By the influence of this internal potency, Yogamaya, all the residents of Kamsa's palace, especially the doorkeepers, were overwhelmed with deep sleep, and all the palace doors opened, although they were barred and shackled with iron chains. The night was very dark, but as soon as Vasudeva took Krishna on his lap and went out, he could see everything, just as in the sunlight. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that Krishna is just like the sunlight, and that wherever there is Krishna, the illusory energy, which is compared to darkness, cannot remain. When Vasudeva was carrying Krishna, the darkness of the night disappeared. All the prison doors automatically opened. At the same time, there was a roaring thunder in the sky and severe rainfall. While Vasudeva was carrying his son, Krishna, in the falling rain, Lord Shesha, in the shape of a serpent, spread his hood over the head of Vasudeva so he would not be hampered by the rainfall. Vasudeva came under the bank of the Yamuna and saw that the water of the Yamuna was roaring with waves and that the whole span was full of foam. Still, in that furious feature, the river gave passage to Vasudeva to cross, just as the great Indian Ocean gave a path to Lord Rama when he was bridging over the Gulf. In this way, Vasudeva crossed the river Yamuna. On the other side, he went to the place of Nanda Maharaj, situated in Gokula, where he saw that all the cowherd men were fast asleep. He took the opportunity to silently enter the house of Yashoda. And without difficulty, he exchanged his son for the baby girl newly born there. Then, after entering the house very silently and exchanging the boy for the girl, he returned to the prison of Kamsa and silently put the girl on the lap of Devaki. He again clamped the shackles on himself so that Kamsa would not recognize that so many things had happened. Mother Yashoda understood that a child had been born to her, but because she was very tired from the labor of childbirth, she fell fast asleep. When she awoke, she could not remember whether she had given birth to a male or a female child. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the third chapter of Krishna, the birth of Krishna. Jai. Shri Krishna ki jai. Supreme Personality of Godhead ki jai. Devi ki and Vasudev ki jai. So it's exactly 8:03. Perfect timing this today. Some of the chapters in the Krishna book will be very short, and I'll read more than one chapter. And I'll try to read the even longer chapters, except for very long chapters, like Personified Vedas, chapter 87. Anyway, we'll do the best we can. Hare Krishna. So we'll stop here, the readings, and ask for any...
Yadu Tama Prabhu said, Hare Krishna Gurudev, my obeisances and no grace to Prabhupada, giving us the best as always. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Yadu Tama. I'm just reading the Prabhupada's words. Hare Krishna, but thank you.
This is from Krishna Premabati.
Krishna Premabati.
Hare Krishna, everyone. Dandavat pranams, Maharaj. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Krishna book reading ki jai.
Jai ho.
From Sudevi Dasi.
Hare Krishna, Sudevi.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you for your life-saving readings. I'm so glad your surgeries are past you And you're doing so well. You are precious.
Well, thank you, Hare Krishna. Krishna is the most precious. If we become Krishna conscious, we become precious, but Krishna is supremely precious. Hare Krishna.
Rati Manjari said, Jai Guru Maharaj.
Jai Rati.
Mantati Rashmi. Oh, this is Raj Lakshmi.
Oh, Raj Lakshmi, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you for the nectar. Everything is auspicious as long as we are hearing your wonderful readings, Raj Lakshmi.
Well, Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Everything was auspicious when I was staying with you up in Hereford. Anyway, this way we can stay together, Hare Krishna. Very good, very good.
Ananda Murti Devidasi.
Hare Krishna Ananda Murti.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna.
Bhakta Rupa Prabhu.
Jai Bhakta Rupa.
Thank you, Maharaj. Really love the description of the peaceful atmosphere leading up to the Lord's appearance, the full moon, the mild waves, and the pleasingly thundering clouds. Prabhupada paints a wonderful picture.
Yes.
Rati Manjari.
Hare Krishna Rati.
Dear Guru Maharaj, please accept my respectful obeisances. Thank you for reading to us this story, which is so dear. This is from Gopal Roy, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Gopal Roy, thank you, Hare Bol.
I like how Krishna wasted no time to, as the Bhagavatam says, expand his loving relationships with his confidential devotees.
Yes.
He didn't hang around the Lord, headed straight for Vrindavan. Bhakta Rupa Prabhu. Also love the description of Vasudev taking Krishna to Gokula with all of the different arrangements for a safe passage.
Yes.
This would be an amazing level on the Krishna video game if they ever decided to make one in the future. Fingers crossed.
Hare Krishna.
This is from Braj Vallabha.
Hey Braj, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Bol, Hare Bol.
These glories have made it to Los Angeles. I like how Krishna's appearance even fulfills a devotee's desires.
Yes. Fulfills all the devotees, all the desires of the devotees. Hare Krishna. I will make one comment, and I learned about this when I was editing various books years ago, and it's a question that sometimes comes into the minds of devotees, and I'd like to clarify it here before we wind our reading, our daily readings up, and that is that Vasudeva and Devaki are the eternal mother and father of Krishna in Dwarka, you know, and in Mathura, especially Mathura. So now how are we to understand that Prishne and Sutapa were that Krishna became the son of Vasudeva and Devaki as a result of the prayers of Prishne and Sutapa? This is a deep question, and it's answered in the commentaries of our acharyas, that Prishne and Sutapa were actually partial expansions of Vasudeva and Devaki originally. And because when Krishna appears in different expansions, in different times, when he has to have a mother and father, either Nanda and Yashoda or Vasudeva and Devaki, they expand into partial expansions in the higher planetary systems. And then when it comes time for Krishna, the original form of Krishna, to come, then those souls merge into the original Devaki and Sutapa, who come to be the parents of Krishna. So in that way, he's satisfying the partial expansions of Devaki and Vasudev, Krishna and Sudarbha, Sutapa, and explaining how it all happened. That is the commentary of our acharyas, and it explains how it is that sometimes the words are used that Krishna appears because of the austerities of Prishni and Sutapa, but he actually appears according to his own sweet will, as we said, as we heard again and again, to his original, the form of his mother and father in Mathura. Hare Krishna. Okay, we thank you so much. It's the, something else? Okay, we've got something else here. Cham Gashore is right on top of things, and he's not missing a sentence.
Rachi Manjari said, tonight we heard how the atmosphere became very pleasing because of Krishna's appearance. We heard how the Brahmanas became inspired to perform their fire sacrifices once again. I have a question about this, which is a little silly, but I will ask it anyway. In the mat.
This is her pastime, asking silly questions, but asking anyway.
In the material world, we are used to consider that when something is burnt in fire, it is wasted. How can we understand that the demigods and the Lord receive their offerings through fire?
I mean, I don't understand how the question came from what you just said. I don't understand that at all. Because Krishna consumes the offerings in the form of fire. Agni is the form of fire. And it's Agni that takes the offerings and offers it to Vishnu, who's also present in the sacrifice as the fire. Just like Sita, she was put into the fire, right? So, oh boy, she got burned. That's the end of Sita. But no, Agni took Sita, and Sita presented a material form, or not the real form of Sita. And that's what Ravana touched. And then when she was reunited with Ram, because of all the pressure culturally, you know, wife has gone and been touched by another man, has stayed many nights in a man's place to prove her purity, he put her into the fire. Well, he told the Brahmanas, put her in the fire. And she came out the other side of the fire unscathed. So these are the Lord's pastimes, and although they're inconceivable doesn't mean that you can't understand anything about them. It means you can't understand everything about them. That's what inconceivable means. Limited mind can't understand everything about it. So if you start considering that when something is put into fire, it's burnt, and therefore how can this happen? It means it's inconceivable. You can't understand something that's conceivable by the limited power of your intelligence. But through the scriptures, through the instructions of the acharyas and the parampara system, you can understand enough of it so that you don't lose faith when you hear these things. It's inconceivable. You can't understand it by your material senses, but by hearing transcendental sound, you can hear how it's possible, and you can accept enough of it to accept the inconceivable nature of Krishna. Hare Krishna.
From Krishna Premavati Devidasi. In this chapter, we hear that a female baby was born to Yasoda, but some hear that Yasoda also had a boy born, and that Lord Krishna from Mathura Marriage with Krishna, born
it's
in
not
Gokula.
Some people say. It's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, and Srila Prabhupada puts it in his purport to this section of his verse-by-verse translation of the Bhagavatam. This is not just somebody people say. The clue to understand it was earlier in this chapter when Krishna said, or was it the chapter before? Anyway, the last few couple of chapters where Krishna said, I will appear, when he was talking to Yogamaya, I will appear and you will appear. We will be brother and sister. Do you remember? Krishna said that. You'll be my sister. That means he took birth from Mother Yashoda at the same time as Krishna. Vasudev Krishna, that was born in Mathura, that's Vasudev Krishna. Krishna never sets foot out of Vrindavan. So when Vasudev brought Vasudev Krishna to Mother Yashoda's maternity womb, the form of Vasudev Krishna merged into the original form of Krishna, because that's where the form of Vasudev comes from. So yes, Yashoda did give birth to both a boy and a girl. Hare Krishna.
From Rati Manjari. Also, I would humbly like to ask if we can applaud again at the end of a chapter, like we used to do at the end of the Srimad Bhagavatam
readings.
Oh yeah,
I forgot all about it. Yeah, thank you very much. We will do that starting next time. We didn't do it last time because we were in between chapters. We should have applauded once for the last two times. Okay, we'll do that. Thank you, Rati, for fanning the nectar, the mellows of the daily readings of Srila Prabhupada's books. Hare Krishna.
This is from Nita Gosai. Dear Srila Guru Maharaj, please accept my obeisance. Thank you for your readings of tonight. We were wondering whether Kamsa appears in Chaitanya Leela.
Whether Kamsa appears in Chaitanya Leela. I don't know, I'm not sure. I've never heard that. The Kasi, I'm not sure if he's Kamsa. You'd have to check the Guru Ganudesh Deepika. Yeah, you have to wait for that answer. We'll find it, we'll find out and tell you later on. But I never heard it. It's not in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Kamsa appears in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya.
From Anandamurti Devidasi.
Yes, Anandamurti.
Devaki prayed to Krishna to protect herself from danger of Kamsa. One hand yesterday, my devotee friend was saying she has no any desire to ask Krishna about all things, even that is directly related Bhakti Yoga. Example, we would like to have Bhakti Yoga Center in Osaka to preach Krishna consciousness more effectively. But even our idea is if Krishna really wants, it is already happening. So she should not ask. Is that correct understanding?
No, you should ask, because Krishna fulfills the desires of his devotees. Devaki asked Krishna because she was afraid, even though she knew that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because she is the mother of Krishna. So mother of Krishna has affection for son, natural. So she was asking him to save the situation out of motherly affection. She was afraid that Kamsa was going to come and hurt him at least, if not kill him. What that means is that the motherly love covered the opulence, the awe and reverence of knowing that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, Lord Vishnu, expansion of Krishna, And so she acted out of love. That's out of pure love. So you can certainly, out of pure love for the souls in the Kali Yuga, pray to have a bhakti center in Osaka. It is no problem. Krishna will arrange it as soon as your desire is strong enough. Everything depends on the strength of our desire, when Krishna will fulfill those types of very wonderful desires. It's not that Krishna is our order supplier. Every time we order something, he has to bring it like on a plate, like a waiter, you know, bringing into, I order this, oh, here it is. He can do it anytime, but he waits until the desire is strong enough, then he'll arrange it. Okay, we'll stop there. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, everyone. Krishna book, Ki Jai. Samabeda Bhakta Brinda Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi. Hari Hari Bol. And tomorrow we will be back, the same place, same time, same topic, the pastimes of the original form of the Supreme Absolute Truth, Sri Krishna. See you tomorrow. Hare Krishna.